Talk Radio 790 KABC. On with me now, the author of the book, The Future of Humanity, Dr. Mikio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics at the City College of New York, author of lots of books, including The Future of Humanity, Terraforming Mars, Interstellar Travel, Immortality, and Our Destiny Beyond Earth. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. Glad to be on the show.
So I guess we got to start with the negative, which is the anticipation that the Earth is not always going to be here the way it is now. And I know you talked about an interview you did with Carl Sagan about the threat, and he said we're like in a cosmic shooting gallery. The fact that stuff is aiming toward us, that the solar system is changing, it's not imminent like tomorrow, but that we better have a backup, plan B, I guess you call it, correct?
That's right. You know, the dinosaurs did not have a space program. And that's why the dinosaurs are not here today, because they did not have an insurance policy. They did not have a backup plan, and they got wiped out by an asteroid. Now, we do have a space program, and therefore, I think as an insurance policy, we should contemplate one day creating settlements on other planets to become a multi-planet species. That's the way that we put it.
And what's fascinating about someone like you, a futurist, who sees things that we don't see, and I don't know how many people are on board with what you see and how much agreement there is. When I read things about traveling to another planet, but we're not going to be in our bodies, that it's going to be, our essence will be transported to another planet, and you see that as very possible in the future, correct?
Of course, in this century, we're going to go the old-fashioned way to the moon and Mars. We're going back to the moon next year, by the way. The Trump administration has said that, yes, we're going to go to the moon starting next year, then on to Mars. However, in the next century, it may be possible to digitize our consciousness, put it on a laser beam, and send the laser beam to the moon. In 1 second, we're on the moon without any booster rockets or problems of weightlessness and radiation. So that's a very advanced way of traveling throughout the galaxy called laser porting. And, of course, this is still for the next century. In this century, we're going to go the old-fashioned way with rockets.
Now, how do you know about how did we get to laser porting? And what will that – when you say laser porting, and I read about that, I thought, what am I, like a snow globe on a desk somewhere? What kind of life is that going to be?
Well, you know, Silicon Valley is already beginning to digitize our life. Your credit card transactions, your Instagram photographs. In the future, when you go to the library, instead of reading about Winston Churchill, you'll talk to Winston Churchill, because he's been totally digitized. His memories, his biography, his videos. I wouldn't mind talking to Albert Einstein, because, you know, we can one day digitize everything known about him. And one day we will be digitized. And you can put that on a laser beam, and at the speed of light, in one second, you could be on the moon. In 20 minutes, you could be on Mars. In 4 years, you could be on the nearby stars. Now, let me stick my neck out. I personally believe that if there are aliens out there, they're not going to use flying saucers and UFOs. That's so 20th century. They're going to laser port their consciousness across the galaxy at the speed of light. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if right next to the Earth, there is a highway, an interstellar highway connecting alien civilizations who laser port themselves across the galaxy. And we are too primitive. We're too stupid and primitive to even know of its existence.
So we may have contacted, or they may have been in contact with us, and we don't know it.
That's right. You know, we use radio. And we think that if there are intelligent beings in outer space, they too must use radio. But they may be way beyond that. We can't assume that they're just 50, 100 years more advanced than us. They could be 1,000 years more advanced than us. In which case, things like laser porting, shooting their consciousness throughout the galaxy, may be the preferred way to do it. And by the way, once you laser port your consciousness to the moon, you download all this information into a mainframe computer, which then puts your consciousness into an avatar, a three-dimensional avatar, which has the powers of a Superman. So almost immediately you have superpowers on different planets. You don't have to breathe the poisonous atmosphere. You can survive very crushing gravitational fields. And you can have a nice leisurely vacation, teleporting across the galaxy, visiting different stars and different planets. So I think that if there are intelligent beings in the universe, that's their preferred way of rocketing across the galaxy rather than flying saucers.
And when this happens, will one of the three billionaires, like an Elon Musk, own this this technology? How's it going to? Is it going to be public or is it going to be private?
You ask a very interesting question. President Barack Obama opened the floodgates a few years ago, saying that private enterprise should bankroll many of these expensive programs. And sure enough, last month, millions of people tuned in to the launching of the Falcon Heavy rocket. And why did so many people line up at Cape Canaveral to watch that launching? That was historic. That was a moon rocket. After 50 years, we finally launched a moon rocket from Cape Canaveral. And who paid for it? You and me? Nope. It was a private billionaire, Elon Musk. And to top it off, the rockets are reusable. That's going to drop the cost down even more. You know the movie The Martian, starring Matt Damon?
Yeah, great movie.
That cost $100 million. You know, the Indians sent a probe to Mars for $70 million. A Hollywood movie cost more than the actual probe that can go to Mars.
All right,
cheap things have come.
Let me ask you. I'm talking to Michio Kaku, who is a professor of theoretical physics at the City College, and is the book is called The Future of Humanity. Why Mars? Why do we pick that as a planet? Is there nothing out there in our solar system or beyond that would be more closer to what we experience here as far as atmosphere? Or is Mars, for some reason, a better shot for us?
Well, step by step, first we're going to go to the moon. It takes 3 days to go to the moon. And I think that in the future, our grandkids may honeymoon on the moon, because prices are dropping like a rock in terms of space travel. Then we go to Mars. Now, Venus is actually our twin, but Venus is our evil twin, because the temperature on Venus is 900 degrees Fahrenheit. Lead is molten on the surface of Venus. You have a runaway greenhouse effect, because its atmosphere is made out of almost pure carbon dioxide. So you want to stay away from Venus. But Mars, even though it's cold, is the closest planet similar to the planet Earth. It has tremendous amounts of water, but it's frozen. So if we were to go to Mars, eventually we're going to have to melt the polar ice caps. We would do that by having solar mirrors beam sunlight onto the ice caps, melting the ice caps, so the liquid water flows freely on the surface of Mars like it did 3 billion years ago. Mars once had an ocean the size of the United States of America. That's how big that ocean was, but it's all gone now. We can bring that ocean back by melting the polar ice caps.
I got to ask you, when I got to the mirror part, I started thinking, when you get together in a conference with other futurists, do they all agree, or are they yelling, mirrors? That's insane. We don't need mirrors. What we'll do is this. And people come up with competing theories of what they should do and economies of scale and how to do it.
Well, when we get together, the arguments are not over the technical aspects. The argument is over cost. How much does it cost to put the damn thing in outer space? That's what divides us. Now, the thing is that costs have been dropping dramatically, to the point that China, India, they're now dreaming about space stations and going to the moon and going to the Mars. China wants to put the Chinese flag on the moon. And so it's a new ball game. Costs have dropped to the point where, you know, it's a factor of 10 in terms of what it was back in the 1960s. Back in the 1960s, the space program consumed 5% of the entire federal budget. That's unsustainable. Think about that.
Sure.
5% of every tax dollar went to the moon program. Today, prices have dropped to the point where Hollywood movies cost more than space probes to Mars. They should give an Oscar for the best supporting spacecraft.
Incredible. I love that when you dream of this stuff at night, do you wake up in the middle of the night and write down, wait a minute, I just realized something about black holes? Because I saw that Stephen Hawking says he now knows what happened before the dawn of time, before the Big Bang, and I don't exactly understand it, because he's saying kind of time was there, but it was in a bent state, but it always existed. But there never was a Big Bang that created something from nothing. So I'm not sure. It's beyond my pay grade. But he just announced that yesterday, that you figured out what's there before the Big Bang.
Right. Well, most physicists would believe that the universe is a bubble of some sort. We live on the skin of the bubble, and the bubble is expanding. That's called the Big Bang Theory, not to be confused with the CBS program. Now, this Big Bang, this bubble, we think can coexist with other bubbles out there. This is called the multiverse. a bubble bath of universes. Now, when these two bubbles collide, that could be the Big Bang. Or if the bubble splits in half, that catastrophic squeezing of the bubble and pinching off a small bubble could be the Big Bang. So this is called the multiverse theory. It is a dominant theory within cosmology, which is one of my specialties. And we want to test this theory, too. One day we're going to test the idea that there could be, well, parallel universes out there, other universes. This is well within the laws of physics. Einstein's theory makes this possible. I work in something called string theory, which is even beyond Einstein. And string theory goes in the direction of a multiverse of universes. And then the next question people often ask me is Elvis Presley still alive in a parallel universe?
You have to assume that he existed in a parallel universe to begin with, right?
However, gravity waves are in the news. The Nobel Prize was given to some physicists who actually found the gravity waves in space. Next, we want to put these detectors in outer space to give us baby pictures of the instant of the Big Bang. We want photographs of the infant universe emerging from the womb. And many physicists believe that once we have these baby pictures of the instant of creation, we'll see an umbilical cord connecting our baby universe to a multiverse of universes. This would make it testable, reproducible, and falsifiable. A reproducible experiment using satellites, NASA satellites. NASA once even approved the program called LISA, Laser Interferometry Space Antenna, to give us baby pictures of the instant of creation.
Wow. And then, of course, there'll be all the people who deny it, and you'll have to fight that. Let me ask you this. Talking to Dr. Michio Kaku, who, by the way, is going to be tonight. He's giving a speech, a Q&A, and a signing. It's Chevalier's, it's off-site at the Pilgrim School, which is the first Congregational Church of Los Angeles, 540 Commonwealth Avenue in Los Angeles. And you can go to Chevalier Books or 323-465-1334 to get tickets and go there and hear him tonight. A lot of this in the future has to do with robotics and artificial intelligence. And I know some of the billionaires out there and the technologists are worried about and warn about AI, how it would develop, and that it can eventually develop in a way that it actually threatens us as it becomes more nuanced and becomes self-teaching, and it grows. Are you concerned about those worries?
Well, yes and no. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook has said, bah, humbug. Robots are good. They're going to create jobs, economic productivity. It's going to reinvigorate the economy. Elon Musk of SpaceX says, well, let's not be naive about this. Once the robots get really smart, they could put us in zoos and throw peanuts at us and make us dance behind bars. My own personal point of view is that in the short term, that is for many decades to come, Zuckerberg is right, that robots are going to create new industries, new jobs, whole new opportunities for the economy. But long term now, by the end of the century, let's not fool ourselves. By the end of the century, robots could become self-aware. You see, robots do not know they are robots. They're adding machines at the present time.
Right.
But sooner or later, they could figure out that, hey, we're not human. And they may have a different agenda than us.
Is that 10 years away, 5 years away,
or
is that next year?
Our most advanced robots today have the IQ of a cockroach, a retarded cockroach. Don't believe the Hollywood hype about Terminator
really?
Robots.
Wait a minute. What about all these tests that I hear? What's the test called? The overseas test where they put people on with an AI form and try and stump it to see if it's close to human, you know, as far
as its
answers.
That's a Turing test.
Right. There you go.
However, the Turing test simply means that you can chat with a computer and you don't know whether it's a computer or a human. But if you were to ask a robot to pick up garbage, to fix a broken toilet, or to repair a leaky sink, it would fail. Robots are totally incapable of doing very simple tasks that even children can do. But they're very good at chatting, they're very good at search engines, and that's why they give the illusion that they're thinking. They're adding machines. They're very sophisticated and fast adding machines. But by the end of the century, instead of being as smart as a cockroach, they could be as smart as a monkey. And they could be dangerous. Monkeys are self-aware. They know they are not humans. Now, dogs, on the other hand, are confused. Dogs think that we are the top dog, that we are a dog, and they're the underdog. So dogs are a little bit confused about what is a human, what is a dog. Monkeys are not confused at all.
I got to tell you, you are incredible. If you want to see this gentleman in person, Dr. Michio Kaku, he's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock, like I said, the First Congregational Church of Los Angeles, 540 Commonwealth Avenue. Go to ChevalierBooks.com or 323-465-1334, and I'm sure he'll sign a copy of The Future of Humanity, Terraforming Mars, Interstellar Travel, Immortality, and Our Destination, Our Destiny Beyond Earth. And we didn't even talk about immortality, which is what I should have opened with. How do you get me to live longer? But that's for our next conversation. And thank you for taking time to talk to us, and we'll see you tonight.
Thank you. And the book is now a New York Times bestseller.
Well, and that's all you do is New York Times bestsellers. Your last book's New York Times. Yeah. You wouldn't have anything less, correct?
Right.
There you go. You enjoy this. You love this, don't you?
Yeah, this is my fourth New York Times bestseller. It's a lot of fun, actually.
It's amazing. Well, so talk about, with 30 seconds, immortality. Where are we with that as far as aging and slowing down the process?
Well, digital immortality is coming very soon. Like I said, we're going to digitize ourselves so that you're going to talk to your great-great-great-great-grandkids who are going to access all your personality, your traits, your videotapes, your everything known about you will be digitized. And this is well within our scientific capabilities today to digitize everything known about you so that you live forever.
So my great-great-grandkids will be able to say, where'd you hide the money? And I'll be able to say, there is none, go to work. So again, the future of humanity, terraforming Mars, interstellar travel, immortality, and our destiny beyond Earth. Thanks. I was so looking forward to talking to you. Continued success. And also, his website is mkaku.org. And the Twitter is at Michio Kaku, M-I-C-H-I-O-K-I-A-K-A-K-U.
K-A-K-U.
Yeah, there's a misspelling. There you go. Thank you so much. Be safe, and we'll see you tonight.
Okay.
Take care. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman 10 continues. Hour number two. Hey, you know what? Give me a chance to win some tickets to go see Morris Day and the, don't forget, Daylight Savings Time at the Saban Theater. And that's going to be March 25th. Great group. Fun night. Or you can go to this great concert. It's called the Great Coot Concert for the Arts. He passed away and he was a producer who funded a lot of arts at schools, specifically, I think, in Santa Monica High School. And that's where this concert is. It's Rick Springfield, Terry Nunn from Berlin, Venice, and student musicians, too, at the Barnum Hall at Santa Monica High School. And it's this Saturday. Call right now, 800-222-5222, if you want tickets for either of those concerts. And, Dino, make it the fourth caller today, or 800-222-5222. Don't forget, also, the beloved 790 KBC $500 high-low game is back, dropping big money at 6, 9, noon, and 3. Win some real cash. Plus, just for playing, you get a gift card to Bristol Farms, your Southern California local food store since 1982. The KBC $500 high-low game. Keep track of the guesses to have an even better chance to win. It literally pays to listen to 790 KABC. Coming up, I want to talk for a moment about the NCAA because they've just crossed a landmark in revenue, and I'll talk about also their problems and the investigations that are going on there. And the L.A. Police Department is defending the fact that they are the rising arrest of the homeless. When the mayor became the mayor, Eric Garcetti, he said, you know what? We're not going to arrest our way out of this situation. So why do arrests keep climbing and climbing and climbing when it has to do with the homeless? We'll discuss those issues. Of course, you can participate by calling 800-222-5222. And we will do all of that and more when Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after the news.
KABC News is live and local at 11:30. I'm Jeff Whittle. Governor Jerry Brown says it's going to be a battle against U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Trump administration over the state's immigration laws.
This is basically going to war against the state of California.
Governor Brown says Jeff Sessions' claim that California's laws are endangering the public is a lie.
Simply not true. And I call upon him to apologize to the people of California to bringing the mendacity of Washington to California.
Sessions announced a lawsuit filed against the state for laws passed last year that he says prevents federal immigration agents from doing their job, a claim the governor denies. James Rojas, KABC News.
A grand jury in Florida has just formally charged 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz with 17 counts of murder for the mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School back on February 14th. A professor at Grace Mission University in Fullerton was arrested today on suspicion of indecent exposure in Cerritos and Artesia. 46-year-old Dong Hyung Ha of Norwalk, who teaches anthropology at the private theological school, is now free on $30,000 bail. Both incidents occurred on September 15th of last year when Ha allegedly exposed himself to a 34-year-old woman in Cerritos and a 19-year-old woman in Artesia. And Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. The Clippers lost to New Orleans 121-116 last night despite DeAndre Jordan's 10 points and 20 rebounds. Lakers host Orlando at 7:30 tonight at Staples Center. Ducks whipped Washington 4-0 to move into second place in the Pacific Division standings. Fourth place LA Kings will host the Metro Division leading Capitals tomorrow night starting at 7 p.m. right here on KABC. Exhibition baseball, Dodgers lost to the Cubs 9-5 yesterday. Angels fell to the Diamondbacks 5-4. Dodgers battle the Angels today in the Arizona desert. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 11:32.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Boy, CNN is running wall to wall with his porn star Sue. Says Trump never signed the hush agreement. I wonder if Stormy Daniels, because the president never signed the agreement, she's trying to get a judge to say she can tell her story. What's her story? More than she was with him for a year. They had an affair. The lawyer paid $130,000, to her not to come out with it right before the election. I guess part of that is there could be a lawsuit as far as influencing an election, trying to influence an election is an illegal campaign contribution for, so Gary Cohn, the lawyer with the heart of gold who just wanted to help his client out, paying the one of $30,000, there could be trouble there. And also, I read a couple of statements from lawyers, attorneys who said you have to let your client know if you're acting on their behalf. It's not legitimate. I mean, my lawyer has to tell me what he's doing. He can't decide things arbitrarily on my behalf. If your lawyer, 800-222-5222. So there's a lot of moving parts to the story. But what is her story going to be when she's allowed to tell it? And then the credibility, are they going to come after her for her past? And which, I mean, we know what she does. She's a porn star. And poor Melania has to have this played out in the press every single day. I wonder if they're even talking to each other. Before the break, I said the NCAA just had a landmark moment. They just surpassed $1 billion in revenue for the first time. Most of it is due, $800 million is due to the TV rights with CBS and Turner. Really lucrative. Another couple mil from championships and tournaments. So it's pouring in at a time when they had to sell over $200 million in settlements with former players who sued because the sports scholarships they got didn't cover the full cost of attendance. And they're dealing now with major, big-time college basketball corruption scandal and an FBI investigation into college coaches and programs, which makes me laugh. When the NCAA investigates themselves because it's so lucrative, they don't find much, or they take a long time to find out. At UNC, they had fake classes, and it was a three-year investigation. I have a feeling you could determine fake classes, what, within a semester? You can kind of get a sense that Billy didn't go and that nobody showed up. Do you really need Inspector Clouseau to figure this out? You go to the class, you look at the agenda, and you say, no one's showing up. I don't see people here, and yet they're giving grades out. Check, please. But they look, I mean, how do you not look the other way? When you have some poor kid who's given a scholarship to a school, and he's rolling up in a Range Rover, and his parents got a new house, really? This is like the easiest thing to discern, is cheating in college sports, but because it's so lucrative. And these kids don't have any kind of representation. You know, in the pros, they have a union league, and they have representatives. You got 40, 50, 60-year-old men descending on the homes of 17-year-olds and their parents to try and convince them to go to that school or use a particular, guide them to a certain agent, wink, wink, nod, nod, who will take care of them and look out for them. Now the FBI had to get involved because obviously, the NCAA policing themselves while they're making $1 billion wasn't working out so well, and they weren't. It's the most obvious stuff in the world, and yet they weren't able to discern what was going on. A kid who goes to school, Reggie Bush, remember all of the stuff? His parents had a house, and he had cars and Range Rovers and jewelry and whatever. And what do you do for a living? I'm a student. and you're getting this stuff. How? It's just dropping from the sky. So this has been going on and on and on and on for a long, long time. And the coaches, they know nothing. All they care about is winning, winning, winning. And some of those guys, right, you know, make salaries. College salaries now for coaches, some of them exceed pro salaries. I mean, you got college coaches making $3 million, $5 million, $7 million a year. And these kids, in a big way, are exploited by not getting an education, by having fake classes, and being enticed. Unwittingly, they're sitting there and they want to go to a school, they want to go somewhere, and they're lured to a place, and the NCAA is supposed to be looking out for them. Well, I think that's ending, and it's going to be interesting to see what the FBI, how hard they're going to come down, and I mean, this could change NCAA sports for the foreseeable future. If they decide to really go big on this, you're going to see sports really, really change. And then how am I getting to school? They took my Range Rover. They took my keys away. And why is it always a Range Rover? Is that the school of choice when they're trying to buy a kid into college? So many questions and so little time. All right, Talk Radio 790-KABC, the phone number 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this. Talk Radio 790-KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues, hour number two. And kind of, I guess it would be considered breaking news. You know, the president wanted to stick. He doubled down on his tariffs, even though Paul Ryan said no. Even though Gary Cohn left, his economic advisor left because of the tariffs, saying you're going to have retaliation, and they're going to start targeting. These guys aren't pikers. They know what they're doing. These foreign countries, they've been working on tariffs with tariffs for a long time. The reason they're going after bourbon, the reason they're going after Harley-Davidson, they're going to go after your base, man. They're going to target the vodka, they're going to go after Kentucky, they're going to go after Wisconsin, and that's what they're doing. They're already threatening back. So now, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is saying in the press conference that they're going to be carve-outs for Canada and Mexico and other countries too. So the president will be able to say there are tariffs. But I guess enough people, economic advisors, and enough folks who have to be up for re-election in states where they're going to get punished with retaliation from tariffs got to him. They were going to wait for a cooling off period and let him kind of sit with it for a while and then go in there and explain to him why there need to be carve-outs or why he shouldn't do this because there will be retaliation. And we heard it right away. I mean, Gary Cohn left because of this. He said this is not a smart thing to do, not a good thing, not a prudent thing to do. So it looks like she's saying now there will be exceptions and carve-outs because Canada went nuts, the European Union went nuts, and they started targeting, putting the pushpins in red states and showing they were going after agriculture, they were going after, like I said, Harley, they were going after Kentucky and bourbon, that kind of stuff, whiskey, and all of the senators and congressmen from those states went, yeah, I don't think so. So it looks like they're pulling that back. Another interesting development is Jared Kushner is down in Mexico, even though he's had a reduced security clearance. He's down there with the president, Mr. Nieto, I guess discussing policy, discussing NAFTA, I don't know what, but with the reduced clearance, I guess now maybe he's listening through closed doors, they're talking Pig Latin, maybe there's some adjustments with the reduced security clearance, and he is being scrutinized apparently big time by the Mueller investigation because of meetings in the White House. You know, the guy has a property, 666 Fifth Avenue, that I think it's in February 2019 he's going to owe $1.4 billion, and he's got debt service on that. They don't know how to pay it. So what they're alluding to and saying is that he's meeting with some entities, banking entities, that have loaned him money. And the question now is, was it pay for play? Because these are also the same entities that could benefit from tax changes. These are the same entities that could benefit from infrastructure spending that is geared toward them or spent with them. So it appears, even if there wasn't any impropriety, it appears there could be impropriety. And that's where the investigation, part of the investigation, is going now. So Jared, though, rather than being on the down low, they sent him to Mexico to meet with the president of Mexico. I don't know who is in the rest of the delegation, but I know right now it's tense between the United States and Mexico as far as the wall, etc. And there was a meeting that was actually canceled between the presidents of both countries because of all the tension there. So maybe they sent Jared down to kind of ease the tension a bit. All right, that's the latest Talk Radio 790-KABC. We'll be right back. Looking for some crosstalk, baby, believe me. Talk Radio 790-KABC, Peter Tilden at 10, wrapping up, making way for Dr. Drew and Lauren Savon. And Dr. Drew's here right now. Drew, how are you?
good,
Peter.
Storm.
There you go.
There. Good, Peter. Hey, how are you?
I was going to do both voices.
Yeah,
hello,
right.
Good to see you.
It was pretty entertaining, but I like the way you do my voice as Mickey Mouse. But anyway, I'm in the middle of the second nor'easter here in New York City.
Did you bring the appropriate clothing?
I was just looking at, I have warm clothing, but it's not waterproof, and this one has been kind of wet.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, it's been a little weird, but it's good times, and Lauren's going to join me here tomorrow. So
oh, that's great. Very cool.
We'll be in the same place, and we're going to do Greg Gutfeld on Friday together, it's been an interesting trip out here. It has, and I hear that, you were just talking about something a few minutes ago that really interested me. I guess it was the Stormy Daniels thing.
The Stormy Daniels thing is pretty... It's pretty
wacky.
Yeah,
pretty
it's a lot of moving parts to that thing and the lawsuit. And what is she? What's her end game with this? At this point,
but you said, what are we going to hear? What's she going to tell us?
What's she going to tell us now?
What's she going to tell us?
Exactly.
How much worse is this going to get?
Positions, hand type of hand soap. I mean, what are we talking? Really?
I don't need to know that.
So many unanswered questions. I guess.
No. Right. And you put it in the right frame, which is poor Melania. Oh my god.
And by the way, it's the number one trending thing this morning. So, and it's everywhere. The Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
I'd also like
porn
to know...
Porn star sees the president? Yeah.
Yeah, it's number one.
as is the custom. But I'm also interested in the Gary Cohen thing, and we're going to talk to someone about Jeff Sessions' lawsuit, too, in just a few minutes. We also have Roop reporting on Las Vegas shooting funds starting paying more than $31 million to victims. But I really want to dig into the Gary Cohen thing. I want to understand, and what you... I'm watching Sarah Huckabee Sanders also at the press conference. What are these... The exclusions mean that
somebody got to him and went, are you out of your mind? They're going to target red states. That's why they're doing bourbon and Harleys, and they're going to go right after your base and punish them because these other countries aren't going to sit back quietly.
But somebody's going to get hit, so how is he going to prevent everybody from, you know what I mean? Would you just pick and choose who we're going to...
Yes. It's going to be watered down now. Look, when you have your economic advisor leave because of it, and half of your own party is saying, we're going to take it in the shorts because of this.
I mean, yeah. It's tough to find a cab outside Trump headquarters.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Here, very quickly, it's just, you know, well, we'll talk about it on our show.
All right, 800-222-5222. Give them a call, and I'll see you tomorrow.